This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Forecast for Friday, rain. High, low 50s.
Yeah.
20-mile-an-hour gust.
Yeah.
And rain.
Nice.
My kind of cross-country weather.
Sure. You bet it is.
The Chariot of Champions is gassed up, ready to go. Heavens.
Really?
Yeah, really.
It was a golf cart a week and a half ago.
Well, it's never been a golf cart. I've called it a golf cart, and I was told it was an ATV. Turned into the Pac-Mobile, and now it's the Chariot of
Champions. 2 weeks ago, you were hoping to drive a golf cart at the Cross Country Championships.
We've upgraded.
Now, Chariot of Champions.
It's like you at Delta Airlines. No, you're not sitting coach. Voice of the Falcons, in first class.
Not every time.
No, I didn't say every time.
Sometimes.
But this time.
Sometimes.
And this time, it's the Chariot of Champions. And perhaps the last time at this rate.
All right. We start this Tuesday. By the way, we've got six games on a Saturday. A couple non-conference games out there waiting for us. Actually, one. Carolina Notre Dame is the one. BYU,
South
Virginia.
Bend. I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to keep the place warm.
Are you? Cleaned for Carolina? Up waiting on Mac?
Yeah, by the way, I believe the stat that's still in play is that a ranked Notre Dame team has never lost to an ACC team in South Bend.
Okay.
I believe that's correct.
All right. Carolina Notre Dame, one of the non-conference games. Virginia at BYU late night Saturday night over on ESPN2, by the
good
way, 10:15. And, by the way, for the Cavalier fans, keeping check back. 2 minutes into the show, we're talking about Virginia.
So what's that all about?
They just, you know, wanted to know yesterday. Some were not happy that it was 96 minutes, apparently. Somebody's running a stopwatch on when we talked about Virginia.
96 minutes of what?
Before we talked about Virginia, apparently.
Well, I mean, we cover everybody.
I know.
I mean, it's we
love all serve.
We got to fill 3 hours. I mean, somebody's got to be first and last.
That's it. And it moves every day.
So somebody was worried that we didn't give Virginia headlines yesterday?
Early enough.
Oh. Well, we actually, for that whoever that person was or people, we actually covered Virginia at 6:58, but the
lights weren't
on. I mean, we really covered Virginia before the show started.
There
so technically, if you really want to get into it, our discussion about the Hoos
was early.
Started, but even before the show started.
That's it. So there you go. But we got Virginia in a couple of minutes now. They play BYU on Saturday night.
It's a good game.
Injuries have set in a little bit here.
Stinks.
Yeah, NC State is the latest to have some injuries. And the one, and ironically, remember talking about this guy last week, Isaiah Moore?
And when he got hurt Saturday night, I was hoping it wasn't going to be serious.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was really serious.
Yeah, so Isaiah Moore is done for the year. They also lose an offensive lineman. Zavala is out, the transfer from Fairmont State in the offensive line. So, again, teams kind of operating on the fly here. This time of year, somebody goes down, and if it's lengthy, then you got to go back and say, okay, where's our depth? Remember now, NC State's one of those schools that we came into the season talking about competitive depth. And for Dave Dorn and the Wolfpack, that's going to be a factor down the stretch here.
Well, you lose two. I mean, we talked about their linebacker room being as good as anybody in the country.
Oh, yeah. Peyton Wilson, now Isaiah Moore.
You lose two really terrific, big-time players.
Yep.
So come down the stretch. Listen, everybody's nicked up, banged up to some degree. Some schools have had it worse this year than others. But that's a blow now. But when he went down Saturday night, and I remember watching him walk into the tent, you're thinking, man, I hope it's just one of those nicks and, you know, okay, let's go. Because you just never know.
Yep.
And I saw that news yesterday afternoon. I was like, oh, man, that stinks. Big time.
Miami secondary takes a hit.
Yep.
Bubba Bolden, the potential All-America candidate at safety when the preseason started, he's going to miss the remainder of the season with a shoulder injury. Now,
he'd been banged up for a couple weeks.
Right.
He'd been playing hurt.
And we saw Williams, the young guy, come into the ball game in Chapel Hill, make a big play and a couple plays, and then he was a factor certainly Saturday night against NC State. So we will keep an eye on the developments with Miami in terms of the secondary too.
By the way, did you bring some cinnamon rolls or something and throw it in the trash over there? Because Fuller's really going to town over there.
No, I got nothing. I had a little granola bar.
Look, he's now – Look at Fuller. Fuller, what's going on over there? There's no chocolate. I didn't put any Snicker bars in the Clemson golf jacket. Big boys, they had a good time with me last night because I had the sweet tooth hit, and Mrs. P was hiding all the Halloween candy. We got in the stash last night. So me
did
and the boys.
You? A little early, isn't it?
Oh, I mean.
Sunday night, Coach.
Every night's Halloween, brother.
For her, it is.
could very well be true.
Not for you, but for her.
Could very well be true.
For her, every night is Halloween.
So we found the mini Snicker M&M bag last night.
Oh, boy.
Got a head start.
How many did you have?
Just one bag.
Just one back. Nice. Oh, man. So that's the injury front.
That stinks. That's all terrible news.
Yeah, not good. Not good anywhere. But we'll see how those teams react when they line up. NC State, of course, gets Louisville in primetime here on ACC Network on Saturday night. Miami and Pitt actually start our triple header here on ACCN at high noon from Heinz Field.
You know, and I said yesterday it feels like it's a three-team race coming down the stretch because really Wake State and Pitt are right. a good spot that they kind of control. But there's still an outside shot. You know, for Miami, it's not over. For Clemson, technically, it's not over.
Correct.
There are others. You know, Virginia's sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. You know, if this team loses, we got that. We got Pitt.
That's right.
I mean, so there's three main players, and there seems to be about three or four that need some help. That still have a chance and a pulse.
That's right.
So November will be intriguing, but, man, they're all important now. But, hey, all hands on deck. But everybody's banged up or nicked up at some point in time at week nine.
And where we are here now is you have a team that is, you know, maybe Wake Forest, Virginia, Pittsburgh, a couple of others that are kind of trying to get to the front, right? You know, they're the odds-ons. Virginia, Pitt, they've got a showdown in the month of November. Wake Forest, undefeated. Kind of feels pretty good where the Deacons are. Dave Clawson will tell you we got a lot of road left to go, and arguably, and by percentages, the toughest part of their schedule still remains. But other schools, it's been a bit of a season of disappointment. The transition to that, Mark, unfortunately, has been there's some question about where things are. And some folks in the media just come right out and ask coaches where they think they fit with their particular school. Justin Fuente was asked yesterday if he's worried about the future.
We ain't going down that road, okay? So everybody up and down that hallway is selling out to go give these kids a chance to win. So I'm not worried about any of that.
I don't blame him. I mean, you got to win games. So, you know, the last thing he's going to hear about is I'm going to waste time with you folks in the media or anybody else talking about my future. He knows. Right. You got to win. And given the fact that the Hokies have just went LLL all at Lane Stadium for the last five on the road, man, you got to win games. He knows that. Yeah. So he doesn't have time.
There's not a guy coaching that doesn't understand it's a production business.
Without question.
Not a guy at this level.
That's exactly right.
You know, whether it be Fuente or anybody else coaching at major college FBS football, they know it's a production business. Now, here's the one that kind of is like, really? Dave Dorn and NC State have had a really good year. Now, have they had a frustrating loss or two? Yes. In fact, they've had two of them. At Mississippi State was frustrating. The other night was frustrating, right?
Yep.
Because there were games where you thought they were taking that next step. So yesterday he was asked in Raleigh about potentially losing the goodwill of the state fans after the Miami loss.
It's hard for me to answer that because I didn't really read anything. I've been locked in here. I just can only guess. Yeah, that's frustrating because, you know, you think we wanted to drop a pass or jump off sides, you know, I mean, nobody wanted that to happen, but it did. And these, at the end of the day, there's still 18 to 22 year old guys, man, you know, and there's sometimes going to be a mistake that none of us like, but that's where we're at. They're still growing in the game. So I'm going to love these players. I'm going to love our staff. We're going to stick together. We're going to work hard together. And hopefully the passion and the grief of the loss to our fan base will return to the support for the athletes, which is where it should be. These kids work really hard. They're still in control of their own destiny. And be a shame if the fans didn't see it that way once they get over the, you know, shock of losing a football game.
Well, first, that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, and he's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, he is right.
First of all, it's a terrible question about the goodwill. I mean, hey, NC State fans, you went out, you're going to Charlotte. Did it stink to lose a game? Yeah, it stinks for anyone. Nobody wants to lose a game. But it really didn't change anything other than the stupid AP ranking, which, by the way, this time next week is beyond irrelevant because we're not going to use it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a ranking perspective, the narrative of, hey, how good's NC State nationally? Yeah, that bruised the ego because you got to win those kind of games. But how many times have we talked about ranked teams losing to unranked teams this year? 30 different times it's happened. Team with a number beside its name has lost to an unranked team. So Don't act like, oh my God, this never happened to anybody before. This happens all the time. Happened five times over the weekend. Five ranked teams lost to unranked teams. So the whole goodwill thing, NC State fans, give me a break. NC State wins out. They are going to Charlotte to play for a championship and try to win one for the first time since 1979. And that would truly break the quote-unquote curse. Now, that's the curse. Can you win? Bring the hardware back?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it stinks to lose. But for NC State, it's still right there in front of you. Go win your games, and you're in.
You know, it's interesting. We get in these environments, and given some of the reports that came away from Lane Stadium the other day about the disenchantment of crowds and things like that, I get the question, but still I don't think it's appropriate to ask in that format at this time of year about where Justin Fuente thinks he is. NC State's 5-2. Virginia Tech scenario is a little different.
Totally different.
Right. But at the same time, you know, these guys, they know. I mean, there's not a one of them that knows, that doesn't know it's a production business. You know that. We've all talked about it.
Hey, the most successful coach in this league in football is Dabo Sweeney. And this week he's having to tell folks, hey, come on, we need the crowd fired up, but we're 4-3. Nobody's excited about it. It's par for the course.
Right.
You win, life is good. You lose, it's uncomfortable. Guys are getting paid a lot of money to produce. Mm-hmm. They understand it. And they signed up for jumping the deep end of the pool. That's the way it works.
All right, so you ever been in a press conference, you know, where you get the awkward response or interview situation? In your case, interview situation.
Oh, for interviews, I could spend 3 hours giving you awkward interview scenarios in terms of Q&A and I can't believe it. I'm listening. I've lived my whole life doing that. So what would you like? Pick a flavor.
Well, I had one like in the 13 games that Bobby Petrino coached the Atlanta Falcons in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
You notice I said 13 games.
Yes. That's not a full season.
No. No, it wasn't.
It's like when the Dodgers won the World Series.
That's right. Didn't really wasn't play a full season. That's
didn't
right.
Didn't really count.
Yeah. I had to do the pregame radio interview.
That's why they pay you a lot of money.
Which was 4 minutes.
Oh, well, maybe not that much.
And
have a hard time filling 4 minutes?
At times.
Wow.
At times. I asked the coach, you know, one time, hey, coach, you know, the team's lost the first couple ball games. Adrian Peterson had run for like 3,000 yards on opening day. They come back, play the next week. They lost, so they're 0-2. And I said, coach, you know, after a couple of weeks here, what do you know about your team? Very little.
That was it? That was it. That was the answer.
Pretty close.
Wow. And pause. Pregnant pause.
Okay. Question two. Let me get question two ready for you, coach.
Oh, my God. Good thing you weren't on his team. Oh, that's right. You were the voice of the team. Good grief. I remember one time, the old prime time of the Pac-Man days.
Oh, these are good.
Well, it's going to be in the book. I mean, I've got stories beyond stories. There was one time Jose Canseco was getting ready to come out with his book, which actually became a real big book, right?
Yeah, really important book.
And Jose Canseco was going to come into the studio, all right, for the interview. And I was really excited because, you know, he'd kind of teased that this book was going to blow up steroids and baseball and all this kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, this would be good because, you know, I love baseball. And so Canseco, when he left the A's, went back into minor league baseball and played in Charlotte, right?
Oh,
played
yeah,
played for right. the Knights.
That's right.
And actually hit a home run at Knight Stadium and all this stuff. So I had all my notes prepared for this interview and stuff.
Knights Castle down at
Knights
Fort
Castle.
Mill. Yeah, baby.
So Jose Canseco comes walking into the door. Shoulders are about this big. Waist is about this big. Just a monster, right? I couldn't believe. I mean, I knew he was a big guy.
He's a big guy.
He is a big dude, all right? Cut the whole deal. So he comes walking in.
It worked out a lot.
I mean, he looked like a stud dog, right? So he comes walking in, and hey, Jose, nice meeting you. And hey, Vaughn, he's blinking like crazy and sits down right beside me. And so we're in commercial break. And so we come out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, yada, yada, yada. Jose Canseco's in the studio. Jose, great to have you here in Charlotte. Great. And he's blinking like crazy, like he's doing the Morse code. And so I said, man, what's it like to be back in Charlotte? And he goes, well, I've never been here. And I said, excuse me?
Excuse me?
I said, excuse me? I said, you know, you played here. And he goes, I don't think so. I said, yeah, you did. You hit a home run for the Charlotte Knights at Knights Castle. No, I don't think so. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Wait a minute. He does. Time out.
Doesn't remember hitting a home run at Knights Castle.
You don't remember being here? And I'm thinking, well, that just discredits everything you're about ready to say regarding steroid use in baseball. And your, I mean, if you don't remember being here, how am I going to talk to you?
How did that interview finish up?
Well, I was like, holy mackerel, am this guy on the planet Earth? What's going on? And so we kind of got past that, and we started talking about the book, which was, you know.
So he was programmed to talk about the book.
Apparently.
Okay.
But not knowing that he was in Charlotte at one point in time and hit a home run for the hometown team at the stadium 5 minutes from the studio. I was like, oh, my God, this guy, where are we going? And then ironically, the funny part about it was he came out with his book, which was gangbusters, right? And you're thinking he was on to something or was on something one way or the other. And here we go.
Both.
Or both.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, my God, where's this thing going? You just never know.
Yeah.
We said, by the way, do I have time? Or are we running late? The boys said, yes, we have time. There was a our old show had a thing called the Weiner Line, which we stole from WEEI in Boston. And it was a part of the whole show.
Right.
And kind of like this show, I don't like to know stuff ahead of time. I want a spontaneous response.
Sure.
So we would play, people would call in during the night and rip into a game or a team or a show or some whatever. And when we would respond to it the next day live. Mm-hmm. And there was this one guy that called that was incoherent. I mean, and he would call 500 times a night. And our producer was like, Pac, we got this guy that's eating up all the space in the water line. And I'm like, I don't care. Just whatever, pick whatever you want. I don't care what it is. Because I don't want to know any of it ahead of time.
Right.
And I said, if you want to pick one, just play it. And so they did. So it's time for the water line. All right. And one guy goes, he's going off. Now we get to this incoherent guy. Hey, Packer. I'm like, I'm on the air going, what was that? What was that, idiot? And I said, you know what? And at the time, no disrespect to ESPN, since I now work for them, sort of. I said, we got to give that guy a nickname. I said, that's the worst caller I've ever heard in the history of sports talk radio. So I nicknamed him Cold Pizza in honor of that show, which I just thought was abysmal. Cold Pizza. They didn't win any Emmys. We got an Emmy. So this guy, whoever it is, and I don't know who calls the show, this guy now thinks it's cool that he's got a nickname, Cold Pizza. Now he calls even more. So like every 3 days on the water line, next one, please. I'm like, oh, Cold Pizza's back. I have no idea what he's talking about. This guy's on drugs or something. Off we go to the next one. Well, it turns out he gets mad because told our producer, don't play that anymore. It's just awful. It's awful radio. And so the guy ends up getting mad, unbeknownst to me. And in the middle of the night, threatens my life.
Jeez!
No, he threatens my life. I'm going to come kill you, da-da. And so I come to work the next day, and he said, Pac, we need to play something for you. I said, sure, go ahead. Whatever you want. Now, you need to hear it. I said, just play it. So the guy threatens my life, all right, and everybody else, for that matter. So he said, Pac, are you worried about it? I said, I'm not worried about that guy. I said, you know, play it. They're like, no, we can't play that on the air. Well, it turns out this guy, Cold Pizza, ends up getting so mad at us and me for not putting him on the air that he leaves his phone number and address. And so the program director and station manager call the cops and say, hey, this guy's threatened one of our talent, his life. Here's where he lives. Here's his phone number. So the cops show up at the guy's house and arrest him. All right. Now, I don't know about any of this. I mean, I don't know about the arrest or the warrant and all that stuff. So they arrest this guy, Cold Pizza.
What in the world?
Wait a minute. It's a great story.
I'm glad we asked about awkward interviews.
Well, so wait a minute. So now we go on the air, all right, and do the one line, all that stuff. As it turns out, the night the cops show up and arrest him and put him in jail, his one phone call from jail
was to the Weiner line.
Was to the Weiner line. And they go, I guess you guys think it's really funny. So
you ran it?
Oh, no. So I don't know this, right? So he calls from the Weiner line, really pissed off that we haven't him arrested. So the next, again, I don't know, come to work the next day. Pack, you need to hear this. I said, I don't want to hear from Cole. You need to hear this. So they played it for me ahead of time. And I got tears coming down my cheeks. I'm laughing so hard going, oh, my God, the guy's in jail. His one call is to the hotline. Because, so as it turns out, we don't press charges to him because he was on medication and got off medication. And that's why he was so incoherent. So we made an agreement. Hey, you go see the doctor, get back on your medication, and we're good. And the rest is history. But there's one call to the show.
Did Cole Pizza ever call the show again?
Oh, yeah. He disappeared for years.
And then came back.
And then one night, we're doing the water line, right? The next day. Oh, my God. Cole Pizza's back. It's all going to be in the book one day,
boys. It's all
going to
be in the book, kids.
Yeah. So there have been some awkward moments with interviews, sure.
Yeah.
I got hundreds of them.
Yeah. And some of them are notable. Like Cole Pizza.
Jose Canseco.
Jose Canseco.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What?
When we come back, I know what you're sitting there thinking. It's 7:20.
We haven't talked about Virginia football yet.
No, where's the counting?
Send a tweet to West Durham.
Where's the counting?
Oh, we got it right
That's,
here.
We got a counting right there. Uh-oh, remember? We told you there'd be risers and fallers after last week. We had some crossroad games. Remember that, Pack?
Oh, yeah.
It's reflected in the accounting. When we continue, Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Tuesday, and that means time for accounting. And fan accounting is tomorrow. You still have a chance to get your list in. If you want to go with the regular 14 teams, you can, West Durham style. If you want to get creative with the Sweet 16,
you can
go there too. Either way.
All right. I'll get started because I wouldn't want to steal any of the thunder from the Pac-Man.
I got a Sweet 16.
I like how we refer to these as power rankings.
Nah, they're not power rankings.
Counting. That's what
just
I like.
Counting.
Just accounting. All right, let's go to the board. I told you we had some crossroads games last week. No change at 1-2. Wake and Pitt. Virginia is 2. NC State falls 1-4. Louisville is up 4. I like where the cards are. I really like where Malik Cunningham's playing. Travion Cooley, Pack. Kind of like where that's going too. Clemson down 2. Florida State, how many they won in a row?
3 in a row.
Up 3. That's right. Syracuse up 4. Got off the schneid in Blacksburg. Miami. Tell you what now. Canes showed me something Saturday night. I wasn't sure. I thought that might be a sack the bats classic for Miami. Georgia Tech down 2. North Carolina no change. Told you crossroads games. The losers of those crossroad games both fall 6. BC and Virginia Tech, and they're ahead of Duke, who's last. I'm worried about the Eagles in terms of where they are offensively right now, Mark, and Virginia Tech. Look, let's be honest, folks. The last three not sitting well in Blacksburg, and therefore there's no real – I can't sense a lot of momentum right now about the boys at Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University.
No, that would be accurate. Believe it or not, we are not far off. I'm kind of surprised. I thought we'd be totally different, but we're not.
Okay.
Not so much. All right, here we go. Sweet 16. Swiss 1, Pitt 2. I kept State 3, Virginia. If you had them flip-flopped, I'm good either way.
Okay.
Virginia's playing terrific football. But you and I are on the same page.
About Louisville?
With the team of mystery.
Yeah.
Right? And I keep going back to the cards. Man, they were close against Wake. Could have won. Had Virginia dead to rights. Let it get away. So they're playing good football. Florida State, Clemson, you can flip-flop. I mean, the Noles are playing with confidence. Clemson is not. That's why I've got FSU ahead. They play each other this weekend in the Valley. Invaders of the North, I'm with you, Wes. Again, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Three tough losses and found a way to win in Blacksburg. We're kind of the same neighborhood there. I'm giving BC a little bit more love than you are.
Yeah.
But you did see him in person last weekend. The Heels are 10. Miami gets a bump with a nice win against NC State. Georgia Tech, they're kind of weird. They're all over the place. One weekend they look good. Some weekends they don't. I'm with you with VPI. Man, they are dropping like flies. They're at 13. Duke's dead last. Number 15 this week is a dead arm. That's right. You know who you are, dead arm, rental, trying to buy a championship. Can't go, can you? No. Well, we can beat the Colorado Rockies in August and September, but when it matters, I got a dead arm. You're 15. And 16 is related. Los Angeles victory parades. They're not having any. You know what that means? You're 16. Chop, chop, chop.
Oh, my God. You're riding a wagon.
That's it.
You're riding there the wagon. It is. You're going to enjoy the World Series better than anybody else, aren't
I've
you?
Done it every year that we've had a full season since 1989.
Wait. We've got an addition to the the scoreboard here. Yeah, What's happened?
Tommy Armstrong sent me, because, you know, I told him we got hoop season starting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need a Notre Dame block.
Just look at you begging for the solicitation.
Well, I mean, if we're going to do accounting in hoops, we don't have a Notre Dame listing here, right? But now we do. I've got it back here. In fact, you can see it behind the
scoreboard. Look at that. Yeah, there they are.
And he also sent a new picture, which I've incorporated right here, which is the traditional black and gold Wake Forest Demon Deacon sequin jacket. That's a Tommy Armstrong special.
Holding the single cue, but Del Frisco's wearing the it's nice. And boy, Luganville's going to love that.
Yeah, and by the way, it is show number 488. All of that is accurate. There it is.
500 shows.
That's what you call top-of-the-line budget, ACC Network style. That's our Lego scoreboard.
And
we can afford Ron, a new production assistant.
Ron's in charge of the Legos, I think.
Tommy Armstrong's in charge.
Tommy Armstrong's.
Okay. Outstanding work there.
Nice. Tommy. Appreciate it.
Dead arm 15, LA victory parade 16.
Nice.
Rounds it up.
Done very well there.
We'll see if social media can get all 16 on the list this week.
That wouldn't be.
I don't spend 1 second on Instagram or Facebook. But there'll be some fine folk watching that going, what's that Packer boy talking about dead arm? What's that got to do with the ACC? You know that's coming.
Yes.
What's that dead arm thing mean?
And L.A. victory parades. There'll be people who don't watch the show but just see the post. That's where the
I love it.
Conflict starts. It's like the finals for wide receiver U, the four nominees.
I can't wait to see who wins that. Because let me just say this. This is week 8 for the winner of wide receiver U.
We've had 7 schools.
Seven winners, 7 different schools.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see if that trend continues when we announce the winner later on.
All right. We got to go to break, right?
That's what they tell me.
All right. On the other side, conference cuts, part 1. Gave you a little teaser early in the front end. When we come back, though, we dive straight into it. Mike Norvell getting ready to go to Tiger Town. Mac Brown, South Bend, Indiana. Hello. Jeff Hafley, fresh on the Zoom. Narduzzi, let's see what else we got coming up. That'll all be good. Conference cuts. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday right here on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't forget, triple header of ACC football comes your way Saturday right here on ACCN. We'll get you started at high noon, presented by Subway, Miami, and Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett welcomes the Hurricanes back to Heinz Field. And look who is kind of in the driver's seat this time. Funny how the clock turns, isn't it? So that'll be at noon with Cotter Herzlick and Jalen Johnson. Then at 4 o'clock, Roddy Jones, Taylor Davis, and I will join you from Truist Field, Pack, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The Blue Devils and the number 13 Deacons, if Wake can push it to 8-0.
Better be sold out.
Primetime football presented by Geico follows at 7:30. Louisville and NC State from Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh with Dave O'Brien, Tim Hasselbeck, and Kelsey Riggs right here on ACC Network and always streaming live for your enjoyment on the ESPN app.
Folks up here in Switzerland should pack the joint. Seriously, your football team's 13th in the country. They're playing lights out. It's a Tobacco Road game. You're a big favorite. Why wouldn't that place be sold out? Seriously.
I would expect a nice crowd 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Perfect. Supposed to be fall, pretty fall weather the Saturday before Halloween.
Sitting up on the hill, bring your blanket, some Moravian sugar cake. Just saying.
They have some Moravian sugar cake from Dewey's in the booth.
Now, if that game was sponsored by Subway, I'd tell you, go get you a Subway sandwich. packet in your lunch.
There you
put
go.
Put in your purse. All right. Put in your back pocket. Get
instead, we'll go to Dewey's and get the corner cut.
Subway's not sponsoring that game.
So we'll get the corner cut at Dewey's.
Yeah, you go get maybe a 2-for-1 special at the Dewey's. Get a little Moravian sugar cake.
There you go.
All right.
Conference cuts. You ready?
I love this
part. All right, here we go. We're going to start in Chestnut Hill. Jeff Hafley's team coming off a 2-touchdown loss at Boston College. And BC in a kind of a interesting spot here, traveling to Syracuse, who we talked about, got off the schneid in Blacksburg the other day. So, what did Jeff Hafley think of his quarterback's performance Saturday night in Derby City?
I watched it hard, drive by drive. And I just, you know, I looked at the offense as a whole first. You know, we need to execute at a higher level. We need to coach at a higher level. I think it's players and coaches, and I'll include myself in that. And, you know, the quarterback and the head coach, you know, when things go good, they usually get credit for things going good that aren't even sometimes, things they should be getting credit for. And I think the same times when things aren't going good. Now I think Dennis knows he needs to play better. I think that we need to help him play better and coach better. But Andy, I think we got to look hard. I think we got to look hard at everything. How we're coaching, how we're playing, the plays, the players. And, you know, have I made like a decision in my head right now of what I want to do? Truthfully, no, I got off the plane at 12:30. I woke up early. I watched the tape. I literally just had a team meeting. The guys were great. And, I think we got to just talk through it.
Tell you what I like about Jeff. I'm a big Hafley fan, as you know.
Sure.
Tell you what I like. Every time, I've noticed this with him, anytime there is something that is to be criticized about his team,
right?
I've noticed he instantly goes back to us as coaches. And I love that trait in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he can give you an answer, but at the end of the day, you know what? It's our job as the head coach and staff and coaches to put our guys in a better spot. He does a really nice job that anytime there's a question that's about, hey, why didn't so-and-so happen or a bad call or
right.
whatever, it always comes back to him and his staff. And I really like that trait about Jeff Hafley.
Let me add this about where Boston College is. Would it be an entirely different landscape with Phil Jurkovec healthy?
Oh, my goodness.
There's a really good chance that would
no
be the
question.
Case. The credit to Louisville on Saturday is Louisville reduced their run game. After the opening drive, Sinkfield scores on the run. After that, BC had a really difficult time getting any kind of explosive plays in the run game. I thought Louisville and Brian Brown deserves a ton of credit for getting the cards ready to shut down Pat Garwo.
Got to have stuff in your neck.
Well, when you take care of Pat Garwo, you've taken care of at least one of the bigger threats that Boston College will have.
Right.
And Grossell had a hard time in the throw game the other night. Trey Berry, who got banged up in the game, was not an early target in the pass game, the tight end. So all those things kind of combined for a tough night for BC. Doesn't mean season's in the water. But at the same time, it's a different game on Saturday. Syracuse is feeling it. We had Dino Babers on yesterday. Their long journey was rewarded on Saturday in Blacksburg. That's why I thought it was a crossroads.
Well, it's a role reversal because if you remember, Syracuse lost three tough yep. games in a row, all by 3 points, and then they found a way to win late against Virginia Tech, snapping a three-game losing streak. Here's BC. Ditto. Three-game losing streak. You know they're taking inventory. These are old Big East foes. They know each other real well. And so you kind of get the sense that, hey, this week, BC, tag, you're it. See if you can pull that off on Syracuse.
I'm going to add this to it. Boston College sees a lot better defense. Nothing against Louisville. BC sees a lot better defense on Saturday in Syracuse.
I think so. I think you're right.
All right. Off to Chapel Hill. Mack Brown off a bye week draws Notre Dame, who, by the way, will be without Kyle Hamilton.
It's a big loss.
On Saturday in the secondary. What does that mean for Sam Howell? I'm not real sure yet. But Mack was asked about the narrative of this season yesterday.
And I've said, you could still win the last five, or you could lose four of those five pretty easily. We'll be a heavy favorite over Wofford, but the other four, we will be an underdog. So you could walk out of here, win nine games, and make people who are disappointed in you really happy, and come out of this thing really, really well, or you could lose them all. So that's who you are. And what we've got to do is keep building as a program, because obviously our goals have changed. We're trying to get the seniors to finish right, get them in a bowl game. And we've got to win two of these games to even get to a bowl. So I think our guys are fully aware that they saw Pittsburgh and Clemson on Saturday. They know NC State's playing well. Wake's got the best team in their school history. They're undefeated. I saw for the first time 7-0 since 1944. So we've got our hands full here in to finish.
I would agree with that, but I am really bummed when I saw that Hamilton's out for the North Carolina. He's not out for the year per se, but he's out for North Carolina. That matchup of Josh Downs coming down the middle and Kyle Hamilton sitting there, you talk about all world players.
A lot of people at the next level looking at that one.
No doubt. But North Carolina's got their hands full this weekend, as Coach mentioned, going to Notre Dame. And I mentioned the Irish, when they're ranked, they don't lose to ACC teams coming to South Bend.
And you know what Notre Dame's found? Notre Dame's found new continuity in the offensive line.
Seems that way. Yeah. Looked that way against SC. Of course, everybody's been beating USC.
Wow.
The real USC I'm referring to.
No.
Was there any doubt?
No.
I think so.
No, it's like the old line my dad used to have.
All the time.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I use it here?
You could.
49 states in the District of Columbia, Carolina's in Chapel Hill.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. Mike Norvell next.
Still accurate.
It is very applicable as well.
Yes.
Pitt used big plays to beat Clemson on Saturday. Kenny Pickett, a lot of it, 300 yards of passing and a couple of scores. How important will that be for Florida State to capitalize at Tiger Town?
To win this game, you have to, the big play has to show up. And whether that's in the run game to in the passing game, I mean, it's just, you know, this is a really good defense. And it's one that they've got good personnel. They've got, like I said, good schemes in what they do. But, you know, when you get your opportunity, you know, Pitt on one, it was a fourth down and five, and they hit a big post over the top. That was a huge play in the game. I mean, you're going to get very few opportunities, but when you get them, you got to make the most of them and capitalize on them. Whether it's in, like I said, whether it's in the run game or in the passing game. And so, for us, it's just, we've got to play, we've got to play smart. Our playmakers have got to rise up. We got to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented. But it's going to be a fun week in preparation to try to find the ways to put our guys in the best position for those opportunities. And then, game day, that's what it's all about. And to see guys go out there and play with that confidence and, get a chance to achieve it. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch here this week.
All right. Give me a Tuesday morning. Give me a Tuesday morning on this. I'm not asking for Thursday. Just give me a Tuesday morning read on what you think Saturday is.
Well, I'm stunned that Clemson's favored by double digits. I mean, are they going to get to double digits?
Okay, fair.
Is that fair?
Sure.
I just am thrilled that, number one, they're playing the game this year after what we went through last year. And the reason for it is because I'm going.
Okay, well, there you go.
Be my first football game of the year.
There you go.
Finally.
All right.
What a weekend. South Bend and Clemson. A little ACC tango. 1-2.
Two early.
Friday, Saturday.
Tuesday morning early thoughts.
That's a Tuesday thought.
All right. Pat Narduzzi is next. Do you sense that there was payback on your mind from last season's Clemson game?
Well, I think, you always got to look back on the past and what has happened. We try to do things with class here victory formation is a good formation, one of my favorites. It's nice to end the ball game like that with 2 minutes to go, no timeouts. Other people decide to do it a different way than what we do, but it'll always come back to get you. Karma's rough.
What's going on there, huh?
Payback on your minds, karma. What are we doing there?
I'll just say this.
We almost got Narduzzi in the deep end of the pool, didn't we? We're throwing up the victory formation. It looks like a goalpost.
Touchdown, Kenny Pickett.
Touchdown, Kenny Pickett is right. Huh?
You may see him again. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's one of those kind of things.
I know. That's why he kind of laid in the weeds, didn't he?
Just kind of get that W and let's get on. It's like, hey, just get the win. Let's move on down the road. We'll try to get to Charlotte here.
All right. We mentioned Syracuse. A moment ago, Dino Babers joined us yesterday. In case you missed it, our visit with the Orange Head coach is coming up next. What in the world, Narduzzi? What are we doing? Orange feeling pretty good. Three frustrating losses, and they come back with a strong performance in Blacksburg, winning at the Horn. We'll talk to Dino next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement. Show number 488.
Chrissy's got the camera set up. Don't touch that tennis ball, Packer.
Oh, that's his new tennis ball.
That dog will bite you.
No, he won't. Not Fuller. Fuller's a sweetheart, man. Fuller loves all. He just wants human touch.
Yep.
Don't we all?
No. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Ron, get back to work.
Ron, our new employee, is going through orientation and having to work here this
morning. I hope Ron doesn't get in front of the camera and really screw things
That'd
up.
That'd be right, yeah. Keep
First
Ron out
visit
of the
here in this basement.
Yeah, Ron, we cleared some of the paperwork and apparently been given more paperwork. all right, Dino Babers.
You keep this up, we're going to let you be in charge of the drone, all right?
There you go, Ron.
By the way, did I tell you my idea?
No. Do we have time for that? We got to get an interview in
Go ahead, in case you missed it.
Dino Babers joined us yesterday. Great visit, as always, with Coach. And we said, after three tough losses, I mean tough ones, three in a row, Saturday's victory late in the proceedings at Blacksburg had to feel good for the Orange.
The math in the whole situation says that eventually we should come out on the other end. But when you're when you're standing there and you keep rolling craps, and you never get a 4-3 or a 6-1 or a 5-2, you know, you feel like everything's against you. But I like this team. I like this group. And I knew that if we just kept chopping wood, that it was going to work out. And I just feel like we're constantly getting better. Now, as coaches and everything else, we need to all lock in and not let this opportunity get away from us, because it could be a happy story ending, but we got to really focus on the next game out.
Okay, so there's so many different little layers to your season. Pac talked about the three games, each by 3 points, leading up to Saturday's win. I said earlier in the show, I want to go back to kind of when you had to have that conversation with Sterling Gilbert and some of your offensive staff about maybe changing the way you're playing. Now, there's no tempo. It may be the same offense, but it's not as accelerated as maybe you want it to be, or as you guys wanted it to be in previous years. How's that conversation and that decision now paying off with this particular team, Coach?
Well, I think it's paying off big. The one thing is that if you've been around long enough, you've done a lot of stuff. I've been, and other coaches on my staff have been in different types of offenses. And I, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's not checkers, it's chess. You can keep beating your head on the door, but your head's going to hurt. And we felt like we had some pieces. We didn't have any proof, but we felt like we had some pieces. And that's why we really kind of went kind of slow with it. Can we do this? Can we not do this? And we needed to be able to look and see and get a feel whether we were making the right decision or not. But, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding. I think the right decision was made, and now we've got to see if we can run with this, literally.
Dino, speaking of running with it, that's where I wanted to go with you. Sean Tucker has been sensational. I mean, just great. And he can beat you so many different ways. At what point in time during this year, whether it be the fall or it's spring, or you tell me, did you get a sense that, hey, you know what, 34 has got a chance to be really, really special?
It had nothing to do with this year. It had everything to do with last year. You know, our offensive line was decimated. We had a fullback playing guard, and we were, you know, we were ready to be plucked, and we were being plucked constantly. And while we were taking those losses, I just kept saying that we're going to have to take it, but we're going to get better because of this. We're going to get better because of this. And to watch him run behind that line, and watch the things that he did behind that line last year. And I'm like, if we can find a way to patch this thing up and get these guys healthy and get them back and keep them on the field, my gut, everything just told me that this guy is what I think he is. I've seen good ones. I've had first-round draft picks at running backs. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know what they look like. And he has a lot of the things that those guys had.
It also coincides with, and I'm going to say maturation of what Tony White was going to do defensively for you. When did you sense that was turning?
You know, I really thought that the defense is a little bit more complicated than what people think it is. And when they got the spring and all that stuff to really sit down and tell the kids, this is why we do things. Kids are different. The kids are so different nowadays. The green and growing, red and rotten. Our coach told us to do something in the old days, we did it. Our mom and dad told us to do something in the old days, we did it. The person across the street told us to do something, we did it, or we would get in trouble. You know, but the kids nowadays, they want to know the reason why. So I thought after that first year and the coaches could tell them why we do things, I thought they'd give even more effort. And, you know, I think that's what you're seeing on the field this year is a bunch of guys that know the why. And that's the reason why they don't want to do the wrong thing. And for us to say, why not? You know, why did you do that? Because you know exactly what that's going to lead to. That's not what we wanted on that play.
Dino, Wes and I were kidding around today that when you look at the ACC standings, 10 of the 14 teams in the league have either 3 or 4 wins. And we're debating of those 10 teams, who is going to emerge from this glob, if you will, and go on a November run where all of a sudden, you know, there's a big difference between being 8-4 or 6-6 or worse. And your team seems like, hey, you got the win Saturday, but your effort in the 3 previous games, they could have all been wins with a play or a call here or there. What gives you the excitement in terms of, hey, guess what, boys and girls? We can run this bad boy out in November and sit there and have ourselves a really sweet bowl game at the end of the day.
You know, 4 daughters, no son, 2 son-in-laws. And I can still remember the very first time, you know, you're having a kumbaya meeting with your families and all of a sudden your daughters are talking to dad and dad's thinking, wait a minute, you're not my wife, you're just my daughter. How are you talking to me like that? And I think that's kind of where this football team is at. We've gone through enough stuff that we can just have those type of conversations where we're looking at each other and, you know, they're not playing and we're not playing. And for the most part, I think we're absolutely on the same page and we want the exact same thing. So I don't know if that's going to matter at the end of the season, but I know it matters right now where our feet are in the present time. And I really believe that we're really focused on what we can do this week to make the family 5-4.
I mean, early in the season, I know you were looking for somebody to take over that role. But, man, his effort against Virginia Tech and really for the last month has really been consistently good.
You know, we're really happy with Garrett. I mean, he's doing some things. I think this last game really was a breakout game for him. I mean, so many people were, quote-unquote, can he throw the ball? And I'm like, he throws the ball good in practice. I don't know. Maybe he's starstruck a little bit. I say he looks better in practice than he has in a couple of games. But it was good to see him get a throwing performance out there that was worthy, that where people will look at him more as a doggone quarterback than a running back. I think he has the ability to do both, and I think that his ability to do both has really helped everybody else on that offense to up their game.
Always good having Dino on the show.
He's great.
Yeah.
And you feel like that the team has kind of paid their price for the journey, right?
Yes. And again, I said to you the other day, this team is light years ahead of where they were a year ago.
Right.
And they're going to look back at this season, however mm-hmm. this thing ends, because they do have some challenges moving forward. But they're going to look back at those back-to-back-to-back 3-point losses and go, woulda, coulda, shoulda,
right.
of what really could have been a tremendous year. And they still got a chance.
Right.
Because they're going to be able to stick their nose in people's business moving forward with that schedule. But I'm just happy that they've had a bounce back here. I really am, because last year was a tough deal.
I'm with you on that one. All right, when we come back, 8 o'clock hour on a Tuesday, Eric McClain. A lot of things to cover with Mac, football included. But also, what's it going to be like to be the aide-de-camp at the cross-country championships this week?
My partner on
that. Yeah, I'm getting ready to see McClain going to Notre Dame to watch cross-country. Draw your own conclusions next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.